Okay, we're live from Crane Christian Church, and I've just had two people pointing at their watch already. So, no, I'm just kidding. So, let's go. We're going to do a quick review what we've been talking about, Romans. And I want to tell you guys, this fresh look at grace has changed me again. And I want to tell you, this is not my first rodeo with grace, second rodeo, third rodeo. And actually, I was talking to one of my mentors probably 7 years ago. And he said, literally, he said, "Well, Bruce, you're right back to where you were 12 years ago." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, there's a reason for that, because it's incomprehensible what God does, the way God works. His grace, His mercy, His love is incomprehensible to the natural mind. And the reason it's incomprehensible is because He's God." We've been studying in Proverbs, and He knew what He was. He didn't just walk out and said, "Let there be." He knew what all it was going to look at like before He said, "Let there be." Think about that a little bit. Every flyer, every bumblebee, everything that He spoke into existence, He knew what it was going to be. He didn't just take a handful of seeds and throw them out there. No, He knew. Okay? So He's God and you're not. Everybody okay with that? Yes. All right. So it makes things simpler. A few words in review. Again, that means nothing when I say a few words, but I did write down a few. Number one is that we are justified by faith. It is a free gift and paid for by His own blood. It's a free gift to you. It was not a free gift. He paid for it, okay? And so we don't want to trample on that. That's what Paul uses the word, and we'll talk about that next week probably. Okay, it's a gift of grace. By grace we're saved. And here's the deal. Every time that this comes up, something comes against it. There's a yeah, but. A yeah, but, yeah. That's too good to be true. And here's the deal. We have forgotten the gospel. You know what the gospel means? Literally, it's translated good news. When's the last time that somebody told you something about God that was good news? "He's going to get you for that. He's going to do that. He's going to do this." Hey, it matters what we do, don't it? Hey, be careful. But here's the deal. I'm serious. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And the reason that people were unwilling to deny Him, was willing to be eaten by lions, killed, murdered, burned, and boiled in oil and put in prison. The reason they were, because it was incomprehensible good news. They had to share it. And the gospel has not been such good news lately. He loves you if. He loves you when. He loves you this. He loves you that. I'm not telling you to go out here and go crazy. Please don't. Okay, we got enough crazy. All right. But the bottom line is, He loves you. We just sang a song over and over. I couldn't quit singing it because He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. And me falls in that us. And I'm so glad it's not just a generic love. It's a love for me. And since I'm still a sinner, He still loves me. Okay. And usually, it not only has conflict when it's brought up, people are point fingers at one another and imprisoned, and churches divide and this, that, and the other. Because you know what? If I tell you that salvation is a free gift of God, guess what? I can't control you. You're uncontrollable. Y'all already are, but I'm talking about the other church. Okay. But no, I'm serious. Because I control you, because if you do this, then you'll do that. Then if you don't, you'll burn in hell forever. The truth is that fear, with love, there's no fear. And God is love. And I'm not talking about you better respect his word, you better respect what he says, you better follow that path, and if you don't, it stings bad in this life. I have friends all around me who have not followed that path and have suffered with their body, has suffered with their spirit, with their relationships, with all of these things. Is that right? But your salvation is paid for by grace. There's really kind of three kinds of death. Unfortunately, in my job, both in this building and my other job, I deal with death a lot. We're dealing with death today. But here's the deal. That's a body dying. That's dust to dust. Does everybody get that? There's physical death. But before you ever had that body, before anybody ever had that body, you had a spirit. He says he knew us in the secret place. And then he places us and lays out our days, okay? So here's the deal. Outside of Christ, making decisions over and over, doing the things, going the opposite path, it causes spiritual death in this life. In other words, it comes between us and God. Does that make sense? As we fail and come short of the glory of God, if we don't walk in repentance, if we don't cleanse, what happens is that causes a spiritual death in this life. And you go, what are you talking about? I'm talking about back in the old days, we call it backsliding. Okay? I hadn't said, used that word in a long time. But back in the old days, we'd say, you know, does anybody need to rededicate their life to Christ? And it doesn't mean they had never received Christ, but they've been walking on a path, they've been doing this, they've been doing that, and there had been that separation, that spiritual death comes and separates him. There comes guilt, there comes shame, there comes, right? Are y'all following me? Is that, anybody ever been there? I've got t-shirts all sizes, okay? But, and here's the deal. Back in the old days, people just got saved over and over, okay? And the bottom line is, that's okay, we'll talk about another time. All right, but then there is eternal separation. Which is horrifying. Being eternally separated from God. Hell. That's being totally, eternally separated from him. And that place is made for the devil and his angels. And those who go there of human are trespassers, because he paid the price for us not to go. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. It says you don't have to go. You don't have to be a trespasser. You don't have to be damned. And that's a cuss word if you use it somewhere else, but there, that is the word, okay? And that salvation comes by the blood of Jesus, because on my best day, I don't deserve it. I don't know when my best day was, but on my best day, I didn't deserve it, and I don't deserve it. So that's a quick review. Colossians chapter 2. And he said, Bruce, you're supposed to be in Romans. Yeah. Okay. This scripture always gets me, guys. Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to go ahead and start in 1. I was going to start in 8, but I'm going to read it all. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you, and those in Laodicea, and for many have not seen my face in the flesh. Is there always been conflict?
Yes.
Is there always been pain in and around the church? Absolutely. This is a very old book, okay? Jesus died 2,000 years ago, okay? So for 2,000 years, I've been studying church history this week a little bit, but we'll get into that. that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance and understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God. No Protestants like to use that word, hardly, the mystery of God. My Catholic brothers and sisters, they use it all the time. Okay, guess what? You don't know everything about God. Guess what? You don't know everything about anything, but you sure don't know everything about God. Both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Does God know everything?
Yes.
Is God in charge?
Yes.
Okay, this is his. Okay, I'll keep going. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. He's bragging on them, okay? As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith that you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Do we need to be thankful? Are things always going to go the way you want them to go?
No.
We can be gripers or we can be helpers. Okay? You really can't do both at the same time. So, in Thanksgiving, do we need to be thankful?
Yes.
I want to tell you something. My mom and dad both were raised very, very poor. Okay? Dirt floors. My grandmother loved to tell me the story of their first house. One room, two kids. They had three forks, three spoons, three knives. They had to take turns eating, have to wash the silverware, and then the next person eat. Okay? When they had company, it's really confusing. Do you mind bringing your own plate? But anyway, but the point being is, then they'd take apple crates and nailed them to the wall so that they would have somewhere to put their stuff. No furniture. Sleeping on, I mean, think about this, guys. So here's the deal. We're kind of spoiled. But I want to tell you, my parents were always so thankful. There was never a time in the wintertime, especially, that we didn't walk in the house and my mom would say, "Thank you, Lord, for a warm house." Didn't have to build a fire, didn't have to, you know, all that. So, and they worked hard, but the point is, do we need to be thankful?
Yes.
Are things going, everything going the way you want them to go?
No.
I'm glad I ain't by myself in it. Okay, good. Don't feel as lonely. Here we go, verse 8. Beware, what does that mean? Look out, watch out, okay? Lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. Do we have a lot of tradition of men now? Oh yeah. You can only do this, you can only do that. It's gotta be done like this, it's gotta be done like this. Because my grandpa said that. I'll never forget, I was in a board meeting one time and we had a speaker and this person didn't agree with it. And they requested a audience. So we went in there and they began to say, "Well, you know, this is this. I said, "Well, why do you think that?" "Well, it's wrong. It's got to be wrong." You know, I said, "Well, why do you think that?" "Well, my dad said it was wrong." I said, "Well, did your dad have any scripture to back that up? That'd be, you know, or something, or a reason?" He said, "Well, no, you know, because they were from a tradition that what that person had said was wrong." Okay. So I said, "Well, you know, you need to work that out amongst yourselves because I'm not waiting up in that." Cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Is the gospel too good to be true? Yes. It's too good to be true with intellect, but not with your spirit. I want to tell you, if you need, I'm not going to say that. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. What does that say? Are you complete in him?
Yes.
And the devil's saying, "No, you ain't." And religious people are pointing and saying, "No, you ain't." Are you complete in him? Is he our Savior, or are we saving ourselves? He's the Savior. And he is the head of all principality and power. Now, some people are going to not like this, but I'm sorry. I mean that. I'm sorry. People, when you look at Hebrew and Greek, and you start looking at the words describing our God, Yahweh, God, when you start looking at that, he is, one descriptor is this: he's the God of gods. Okay, I can't be the pastor of a church if there ain't somebody that I'm pastoring, right? So in powers, principalities, high places and all that, and I listen, I know there was rebellion in heaven, I know there's all this going on, but I want to tell you, God's in charge. Yes. And some of us who are easy to irritate, maybe, we're ready for this thing to get, just get it over, you okay. But in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Is God in charge?
Yes.
He is. And sometimes we don't like the way, I mean, people make decisions. Just read Israel. Just read the Old Testament. If you did, they make some decisions they shouldn't have made.
Yes.
Was God still in charge?
Yes.
Okay, so we do the same thing. So verse 11, here we go. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Okay. Very generic, very quickly. I don't want to offend anybody. I mean this, okay? No one has ever been circumcision reversed. Okay? It doesn't happen. Okay? So here's the deal. Made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
For the person on death row, for Mother Teresa, he paid it all. For those of us who struggle here, there, and yonder, he paid it all. And the sufficiency of Christ is under attack every day, everywhere, because it's too good to be true. And we are buried with him in baptism, in which you're also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross.
Yes.
Is your sin nailed to the cross?
Yes.
The reason it is because he did it. And the reason I'm enjoying that is the same reason if they have a sale on chicken, it's not Porter's anymore. What's it called?
Sun Fest.
It's a festival. Okay. But anyway. Festival. Okay, whatever. Okay, but the point being is this. If they got a sale on chicken and all I do is stand in the parking lot and smell at it, all I'm going to be is hungry. But if I go in there and plop down my whatever, $2, $6, $20, whatever, get my chicken, and I come out, is it mine?
Yes.
And I want to tell you something. Jesus paid it all for my salvation. And I've received it, and it's mine. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to pry it out of my hands. It's mine. And yes, it's his, paid for by his own blood, but he has adopted me, which I would not be the first pick for me. If I was adopted people, I would not, I'm not just saying that. I look, okay. But I'm in good company. I've read every person, every man in the Old Testament and New Testament. I've done a study at one point. I've looked at what I could find out about their lives. And guess what? Ain't none of us got it together. Okay? So, he has wiped out your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting or requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he's nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers. Now, here's the deal. The reason that I always start with God knows everything and I don't know nothing, I like to get that established immediately. But watch this. Why didn't he just do away with principality? Why didn't we just get on with this thing? Guess what? He's got a plan. And it's way bigger than anything I can figure out. But the bottom line is, he is king. And we'll say this very quickly, okay? But watch this. The reason he had to disarm them is because he put Adam and Eve in the garden and they were in charge. Y'all realize that, right? And they handed the being in charge to the devil. And then he had to pay the price to redeem this earth. And now we are in the process of an entire restoration. It's being restored. And then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and I'll probably be the gate guard, but it's okay. I just want to be there. I don't care what my position will be. It don't make me no difference. I want to be there when they're handing out the chicken or beef or whatever, or vegetables. I don't know. Whatever we're going to eat. Okay. So what's this? He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink. So, I want you to remember the audience that he's preaching to. Okay? So, we've already had this big argument. These people are Gentiles. Okay? They've been eating pork chops or, you know, whatever. Okay? They haven't been following the kosher stuff from the Jewish side. Remember that? Okay? Because they're Gentiles. Okay? They don't know it. They hadn't been worried about it. Okay? And then the religious Jews say, you got to do that. You got to be circumcised. You got to follow the law. You can't go past so far on the Sabbath. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do all this. And what did they say? No, you don't. No. That has been paid for. Okay? That doesn't mean that we don't follow what the Bible says. But I'm talking about the dietary, and listen, eat right, you'll live longer. I'm serious. A full diet of Oreos and potato chips is not good for you. I've heard, okay. So, but the bottom line is he's disarmed them. He's made public spectacle. Don't let anybody judge you in food and drink, but watch this. Regarding a festival or new moons or Sabbath. In my writing in this Bible in the 70s, or no, this would have been the early 90s. I've got quote, religious stuff. Everybody's got religious stuff. I mean, because we don't have church like some people have church. We have other kinds of church. You know, but here's the deal. You know what we are part of what's called a restoration movement that started with the revival in like 1844. That's where the Christian Church, Church of Christ, Disciples of Christ, that's where we were gonna join Christianity, we'll do away with denominationalism and all that, and then we started splitting up. We started fussing and splitting up. So I think that's beautiful. But anyway, but the point saying, yeah, I think it's beautiful. I think it's just the nature of humankind. But the bottom line is this. The bottom line is, don't let anybody hold you to whatever their tradition is. I love some traditions from some other churches. I'm going to be very generic because I don't want to start a firestorm. But I can tell you that I go and pray at different churches with different people, different convenience stores, grocery stores. I love people. But watch this, guys. I love some of the traditions of the churches, and you've heard this one time. I was visiting a friend, and I asked Kim, I said, baby, where you want to go to church? She said, I want to go to church with these people. I said, okay. So we went there, totally different than we have church. How's that? Just, and when we had communion, I'll go, ooh, that's been in the bottle too long. Okay. But yeah, well, that's happened here, but that was by accident. That wasn't. And after it was over, I had this long conversation with these guys and talked to them and loved them. And then they fed me. And I was like, well, okay, if you're going to feed me, when's the next meal? But anyway, but the point being was this, I enjoyed it, but that's not my path. Does that make sense? And I felt God. And here's the deal. The person who spoke, I would have bet, I don't like to bet, but okay, $5 would be more than I've ever bet. But so I'd bet you $5 that I was going to be bored during her, when she was talking. I'd bet, you know, yeah, I'll probably just have to fight to stay awake. And guess what? You know what God did? How irritating. She read my mail. She was preaching to me. And I'm like, ooh, there's $5 I would have lost. And here's the deal. Guess what? God knows what he's doing. So let's do what the people who started the restoration movement, the Campbells, the people back in the 1800s who were doing all that. Let's do what they wanted. Let's do what God called them to do. Let's love one another. Let's not be this or that or the other. Let's use the name that God gave us. Christians, little Christs, followers of Christ. And that don't mean, listen, I don't care what brand. You know, if I'm needing some mayonnaise, I don't care if it's Always Save or, okay, never mind. I like it expired the best. It's cheaper. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys. It's a shadow of things to come, but it's the substance, what we want to do. Although it's a shadow, we want the substance, the person of Jesus Christ. Let no one defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding on those things which he's not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, while not holding to the head. Now, guys, I want to tell you, here is where it gets dangerous. I'm dead serious. Watch this. If we have a tomato plant out here, okay, and part of that plant comes off and it gets separated from the main part of that plant, will there ever be any fruit? No, it will die. Our primary purpose is seek him, seeking his kingdom. And as we do that, as we pull from him, yeah, it might not look like the people down the road. It might not look like our life might not, you know, because, you know, some of us watched, I think Forrest called them horse operas. Westerns when we were kids, you know, and always ends this way in the end, and always, you know, but here's the deal. Your life might not be like that, but I'm going to tell you guys, the bottom line is he has a plan for your life. And as we stay connected to him, we will grow fruit, and fruit, watch this, that will remain. See, that's what comes from him. And all these other things that we're attached to and we grow fruit from that, it won't remain. It's our flesh. It's the lust of the flesh. It's all those things. So if you're not careful, let's say the real problem here is a friend of mine, I'm going to be very generic about this, very generic. Okay, a person that I know well used to live in a different city and doesn't live here now either, so don't try to figure it out. So they were looking for a church. And this is a person who has been to Bible school. This is a person who knows the Word of God. And he was praying and crying out to God, saying, you know, I don't know where to go. It's a new town. It's new. So they went to this church. And the whole focus of this church was weight loss. He called it the skinny church. You know, we got the pretty church, but and literally, well, this sister over here is doing better because she started doing this, and he was just sitting there in his, because I know him well, his little brain was doing, I mean, what in the world? And hey, take care of your body, you'll live longer, you know? You could stay in your clothes, you know, whatever. But the point being is this, if that becomes your focus, guess what is not your focus? If your focus is getting rich, guess what not your focus is? And hey, I want everybody to have a job, to be well, healthy, not necessarily skinny, but anyway. But the point of it, we've never been called a skinny church, isn't that it? Okay, just kidding. All right, so what is your focus? So then what happens is, holding fast to the head, from whom the body nourishment and knit grows together by joints and ligaments, grows an increase which is from God. This is something that we don't see. We have forgotten this in the body of Christ. Watch this. Jesus is the head, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay. But guess what? The hand, I don't know about your body, and please don't show me, okay? But the hand and the foot look different, don't it?
Yes.
But do you need both your feet?
Yes.
I do. Okay, do you need both your hands?
Yeah.
Okay, do you need, okay, I mean, seriously, everybody in here looks a little bit different, but you've got to, and here's the deal, for some reason, we think, okay, let's say we're the hand, we're the servers. All the servers think, everybody's got to do what I'm doing. This church, we're not in it, no. We need the feet, and we need the mouth. We need the ears. That's why we got two ears and one mouth. We're supposed to listen twice as much as we speak. But the point being, guys, watch this. Let's be part of the body of Christ. Is God doing something? And here's the deal. It matters. But watch this. Goes from right there to verse 20. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you submit yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all things are perished with using according to the commandments and the doctrines of men. At one point, and I'm not going to get too graphic, it talks about this. It says, you know, you worry so much about what you eat, whether they were eating kosher or not kosher, whatever. You worry so much. You know, all that just goes out through the drought. I'm going to use the word that they used. You know what I'm talking about. You know, right after that's when you flush it. But the point being, well, no, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. And the focus, right? The focus is, well, I'm a little bit holier than you are, and I'm a little bit better than this, and I do this. And guess what? There's a couple people like that joke. But it's the truth. It's what the Bible says. Okay. But the bottom line is this. Guys, Jesus paid it all. And again, health is important. All those things are important. We have people that everything they focus on is finances in this life. Everything is focused on is this. But what he's told me and you and us and we-ins and you-ins, okay, if you're from Missouri, watch this. Therefore, because all power has been given to me, Jesus is speaking, go ye therefore and preach the gospel. What is that word, gospel? To every living creature, not just the people that you want to come to your church, okay? Not just the pretty folks, not just the skinny folks, not just the fat wallet folks, not just, right? No, I'm dead serious. To every living creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Is that what it says?
Yes.
And I want to tell you, are we doing that?
No.
Well, I think our priorities have been on other things. So don't touch, don't taste, don't handle, and all those things perish, and we're not going to go back to the drought again. But using according to the commandments and doctrines of men, these things indeed, okay, there's the last verse of this chapter. These things indeed have appearance of wisdom. Does the best lies just have a little bit of truth in them? I'm telling you, I've been around a bunch of liars in my life. Okay? And you always can tell because they, I was there, but you know, I'm not the one that did that. You know, and here's the deal of self-imposed religion, false humility. Well, I'm a little better than you are because, you know, I'm down to a 36 pant. Okay? I'm a little better than you are because I don't, you know, I've done this, I've done that. And does that do anything? No. What that does is the world looks at us literally and goes, that's good news. That's the gospel. That's good news. That don't sound like good news. That sounds like you bragging on yourself. That sounds like you having, okay, self-imposed religious false humility and neglect of the body are of no value against the indulgences of the flesh. Here's the last point for today. But watch this. And I'm not picking on anybody at all. I promise. I'm sharing with you, unfortunately, what I've been through. I have been doing this a very long time. And I will never forget many, many years ago, a totally different state. Don't try to figure it out, okay? And I remember something coming up in church about the way people dressed. Okay, this isn't the sweatpants story. This is another one. So it happened to be, of course, we always like to pick on the women. Okay, you know, they're not doing this, they're not doing this. And the biggest proponent of this legalistic mumbo jumbo later was arrested for doing something very horrible to his children. And I want you to listen to what I'm saying. This, every time I read this scripture, all of this legalistic stuff does not do anything other than cause false humility. Look at me. My family is in order. My girls are all wearing this, or my this is all wearing that. And, you know, whatever. Okay? It has no spiritual value. Okay? Now, do we need to be modest? And we do. Yes, please. You know? But here's the deal, guys. The bottom line is this. Jesus paid it all. And as we stay connected to the vine, the fruit of his love, grace, mercy begins to then flow through us, and we have fruit of that in our lives. Okay? And hey, there is a place for discipline. There is a place. There is a place to shake yourself and say, you know, this is not good. This doesn't bring glory to God. And you have a conscience. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to you and say, you know, I shouldn't be doing that. That's not a good movie. That's not a good this. That's not a good, you know. And follow those things and be obedient to him as we deal with those issues. But guys, I want to tell you, we're getting toward the end of this series, but I can't emphasize the point enough that we've had 2,000 years of the church destroying itself, pointing fingers at each other, griping and complaining. And he is calling us to please fall in line with the prayer that Jesus prayed. Lord, let them be one so that the world will know that I, being Jesus, he's one praying, came from you. I want you to think about that. Our refusing to be one is stopping what God wants to happen on this earth. So let's choose him. Father, thank you so much today, Lord. Your grace is sufficient. Father, in my weakness, Lord, you're strong. So, Lord, if there are people here watching and online or here, Lord, that don't know you, Lord, let them call upon the name of the Lord. Father, you said that no one comes to the Father but by the Spirit, Lord. So, Lord, draw us to you. Let your Holy Spirit, Lord, draw them now that they've heard the word that says Jesus is the answer. So, Lord, draw them to you, to give themselves to you and receive what you have for them. So, Father, thank you so much for this group of people. Watch over us, keep us, let your light shine on us, and give us peace. In Christ's name I pray.